KPFK 90.7, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. And this is Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. First up to bat, we have Eric Mann with a commentary on a whole heap of a lot of stuff. Pull over your cars and get out your pens and write some of this down. You can chat with your coworkers at the cooler tomorrow, and they'll think you're brilliant. For our second and third segments, we're going to be going through some victories, which is really exciting, victories for the left in this particular time period. First, we'll be talking to Deborah Oros from the Bus Riders Union, and she's going to be talking about two big victories, one about the elimination of a student pass application so that a whole bunch of other students on the buses can get discount student passes without having to go through an application process, as well as a recent court victory in terms of expansion, massive expansion of the number of buses out on the roads. For our third segment, we're going to be having Rebecca Solomon and David Goldberg, who were a part of a progressive caucus in the UTLA election movement. David Goldberg actually is a treasurer-elect on the UTLA board, and they're going to be talking about how they are going to the dilemmas that are coming up for them and how they're going to try to fight for a progressive agenda, which includes getting rid of the No Child Left Behind as well as the high school exit exam. So first off, we have Eric Mann with his commentary.
This is me. Hi, everybody. This is Eric. I have been away for a while. Our regards to the filmmaker Haskell Wexler, who just told me he's one of the regulars who listens to our show and likes it a lot. My commentaries today is going to begin with political critique. The left is always critiquing, but of a film I saw this weekend called Warm Springs about FDR with Kenneth Branagh, who's a really fine actor, Cynthia Nixon, who you probably know from Sex and the City, had a really fine cast of white folks, and she played Eleanor Roosevelt. But they should have called it White Springs Eternal, or with white liberals like FDR, Who Needs the Klan, or something like that. You know, sometimes, like as a white person, when I watch the TV, you know, and you see these all-white films, sometimes they're not offensive except that they're just all white, and they don't even seem to notice. And you wonder what black and Latino and Asian people must feel like just time and time again seeing Friends for 12 years. You know, it took the 13th year to get a black person on the show. But this is much more offensive, much more. I mean, Kenneth Branagh should really be ashamed of themselves, and HBO should really be ashamed of themselves, because this is not just racism by the exclusion of blacks and the white sort of unspoken majority, but this is just a pretty racist, ugly story glorifying the white liberal hero FDR. The story begins that FDR, it's focusing on, you know, the heartwarming struggle of FDR, one of the richest people, crippled with polio. He goes to a beat-up place in Warm Springs, Georgia in 1927 to try to rebuild his life after he cannot walk at all through because of infantile paralysis. The mineral springs and heat have a rehabilitative effect on damaged tissue and allow people to basically be able to work out in the pool. The show develops how first FDR is an arrogant misanthrope, but after confronting his own debilitating disease and fighting to just swim or take a step in the water, he's humanized. He then goes on to buy the place, to invest his inheritance, to bring in people suffering from infantile paralysis from all over the country, to build a community, to contribute to his wife Eleanor's efforts at self-realization, and finally in 1928, to nominate Al Smith at the podium of the Democratic National Convention by his son Elliot propping him up. Essentially what they worked out is he really couldn't walk, and instead he still had his legs in metal braces, but by sort of hanging on to his son, he could fake walk and get to the podium. So it's a, you know, one of those real tearjerkers, except for a few problems. The first problem is that the Warm Springs is in Warm Springs, Georgia. And all the people there who greet him, of course, are white, except for the black servants who immediately love Massa Roosevelt and literally physically carry him up and down the stairs on their backs. And he immediately likes one of them and makes them one of his aides, which means this poor black guy can carry him up and down the stairs for the rest of his life. Now, when you see all these people that come and the community that he builds, the community is all white. People come from all over the country who have polio. It's not, now they have a lot of white and colored water fountains there. There's a reference to one of the owners who said, well, I had some trouble with some of the local groups, and Roosevelt says, you mean the Klan? But except for that, there's one problem. No black people with polio are allowed to come to Warm Springs. So it's all white folks rehabilitating themselves in 1927. The only people who are black there are black people without polio, and their job is to carry around all the white people with polio. And apparently they love it, because when Roosevelt gives the speech at the end, we have built a community, and he finds his humanity, and he's speaking, he finds his voice as if we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and all the white people are nodding, and all the black people are nodding. Except the black people, why are they not? Why are they happy about the community? The community is a white community, and it's really very painful to watch, and to watch how many black people have enabled white people to have better lives through the role of servants and supposed to be happy servants. And maybe a little bit of why a lot of white people are freaked out today by hip-hop and rap is, you're not friendly. You don't want to carry me in the pool. I don't understand all this. I mean, FDR, I mean, I saw this film where black people love us and they love to carry us all around, and they don't seem to need to want to go in the pool, and they don't seem to want to, if they have polio, they don't want to come, you know, they really love us. And it's really sad how black people have turned against us after all we've done for them, you know. So then it's even worse than that. Because in fact, Roosevelt was a racist. If you read W.B. Du Bois' biography, during the 1930s, the biggest anti-racist demand during the 1930s was an anti-lynching bill, when black people were getting lynched quite a bit in the United States. Roosevelt never touched an anti-lynching bill because he wanted poor white people in the South to vote for him on his economic populist program. Rich against poor again, but I mean poor against rich and rich against poor. He supported the poor, he really did, but the white poor. Did you know that in the National Labor Relations Act, which was passed to help labor, that farm workers were excluded from that act? Why were farm workers excluded? Because they were all Latino and Filipino and of color, so that was left out. Did you know that Eleanor Roosevelt, who's portrayed as a devoted lover of her husband, they hated each other's guts, first of all. It was a terrible marriage. And he had lovers during his own life, but not just lovers, but he was totally alienated from his wife. His wife was totally alienated from him. He died all alone, miserable, which he deserved to do. And then finally, did I say Eleanor was a known anti-Semite, which we'll come into some other time. And then as president, he turned back the ship Baltimore, which was a ship full of Jews, you know, who came to the United States coast and asked for asylum from Nazi Germany. He refused and sent them back to Germany, where the vast majority of them were murdered. So that's the story, you know, happy myth of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a liberal, but it's why a lot of the people on the left hate liberals. So write a letter to HBO, tell them we don't want any more racist claptrap like Warm Springs, and I'm going to write a letter to Kenneth Branagh, especially, and Cynthia Nixon, and say they should really be ashamed of themselves for acting in this thing. Last other sort of short takes. Next week we'll go into more detail on this. Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Minutemen. Well, I am for immigrants except for the Mexicans, you know. So, I mean, this guy who's going to try to get a bill passed, making him president if he can ever get reelected governor, because he wants immigrants to be elected, now, is, you know, as his popularity is going down, he's moving into a very racist position about discussing getting more people on the border, whereas we should be supporting open borders. And it's just very scary to watch the Pete Wilson advisors moving onward to the right. Then we watch Bush and Social Security. I'll talk about that again more, but I follow it every week intensely. This Bush is brilliant, and the Democrats are pathetic. I mean, Bush is now pushing. I mean, they keep saying, well, his popularity is going down, his popularity. He doesn't care. He really cares about this issue of destroying the social welfare state. that Frank Gundetta and Al Roosevelt passed for mainly white people. So he's willing to take a loss. He's now talking about protecting the rights of the poor, which really means this is one of the few programs, Social Security, that was not geared to the poor, that was geared to the middle class and even the upper class. And let me tell you, people making $250,000 a year want their Social Security payment. They count on it. So now by trying to cut out the middle class and the upper middle class from it and having a poor people's program, pretty soon it will be translated into a black people's program, and then pretty soon it will be cut. So the guy is brilliant, and the Democrats are doing nothing in this ideological debate, and we need the left to play more of a role in that. And finally, on a positive note, Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro have formed a new international alliance called ALBA, which, does that mean morning in Spanish? In
Alma Sol.
What does it mean?
Alma y Alma Sol.
Okay, Sol. So they formed this new thing, which I'll have to report more on next week, but so far it's only a two-person coalition, but pretty good coalition. That's like, you know, Shaq and Kobe, or right now Shaq and Dwayne Wade. Not a bad all-star team. So you got Hugo Chavez, according to the State Department, giving more oil revenue to Fidel, and Fidel and Hugo creating like a left-wing coalition against the Organization of American States, forming something to the left of even Lula in Mexico. So it's really cool, and then it ends with Fidel being at a press conference with Hugo Chavez and saying, you know, hanging around with you is not good for my reputation. Just showing, because Fidel has been the left wing of the world for all these years and been so isolated, he just must be thrilled. And they ended by calling Condoleezza Rice, condolences Rice. So there's a lot of hope out there, folks, and the role of critique on this show is to get you angry enough to get organizing. So with that, let's turn it over to the people that are making history.
All right, we'll be right back with Deborah Ross from the Bus Riders Union.
Don't sweat the technique.